Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Have you ever met anybody that had trouble believing? They're weak in faith. Remember that Paul is writing to a church. He's writing to people of faith. He's writing to people who have already covenanted themselves as a called out assembly. Okay? He's not talking about lost people. He's talking about saved people. And yet, even saved people, and we could probably take testimonies around the room, have had trouble in our faith. Trouble trusting God with the outcome, with the circumstances. You know, we pray and we put it in God's hands, and then we keep a little leash on it and pull it back. And we worry about it, and we, you know, just stress over it. But at the end of the day, our faith is trusting God. I know people who have trouble, and I've given, you know, testimony about people who've confessed to me things and believe and wonder if God can forgive this. My answer is yes. God's answer is yes. You know, the Bible's answer is yes. God can forgive it. And, you know, there are things that we have trouble forgiving, don't we? We have trouble forgiving. There are people we have trouble forgiving. Okay? But God doesn't have trouble. So we have faith in Him. We believe in Him. We trust in Him. You know, we know that the Bible teaches that when we put our faith in Christ and accept Him as our Lord and Savior, that He forgives our sins, He writes our name in the book of life, and He assures us, guarantees us a home in eternity with Him. Right? We understand that, no doubt. And yet there are people who struggle because they believe, well, you got to get baptized. Okay? Why do they believe that? Well, they believe that because that's where they're taught. There are people who believe they have to have good deeds and religious works. And why do they believe that? Well, they believe that because that's what they're taught. The truth is they're insecure or weak in their faith. By the way, if I was concerned, I'd get baptized, right? If I was concerned, I'd do good works, right? I mean, I'd pad the deck, as you say. But the truth is, even if we're weak in our faith, God is not weak in His promises. Why are people weak in their faith? What are the reasons? Okay, natural doubt. Temptations, okay, they're tempted. Expectations, lack of teaching, lack of reading. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's important that we're taught, but what is the risk when that is all that we have is what we're taught? What's the risk? Be taught wrong. How many people believe that they have to get baptized or do good works or that they can lose their salvation because that's what they're taught? By the way, if I believed everything I was taught when I was a child, you wouldn't want me around. I certainly would not be who I am today had I not taken the responsibility myself of being a student of God and of God's Word. You know, the preachers, and I love them. My pastors growing up were fantastic men, but they had the same problem. They were teaching what they were taught. And when a preacher just regurgitates, y'all understand regurgitate, right? Don't have to explain that one. When we just regurgitate what we've been studied, what we've been taught, number one, we repeat error. And number two, we live in jeopardy. So we need to study for ourselves. We need to get in the Word. And, guys, people have trouble. We call somebody. Call me and say, I don't understand what this means. Concupiscence. Can hardly pronounce it. What does it mean? Right? Lasciviousness. You know, these words in the Bible, it's not that they're archaic words. It's that we have released the responsibility of education. You know, there was a time when we used to learn big words and use good words. I read the other day, somebody says, if you don't say something every once in a while that makes somebody pick up a dictionary, you're not using good proper grammar. You know, all day, you know, I'm riding with the kids and they're asking questions. How do you spell this? What does this mean? All the time. And that's just the way it works. But we've got to be educated people. And I know y'all are educated people, but we've got to dig in deeper. Two men built houses. Y'all remember this? Yeah. One man built his house on the sand. Other man built his house on the rock. Now, I didn't see the design. I didn't see the plans. But I'm just, for sake of discussion, I bet they had the same shutters. You know, I mean, the same kind of roofing, same kind of tiles, you know, all the stuff that we think of. One was just like the other one, just exact replicas. But what happened? It was perfect every day, no problem. It wasn't until the trials came. The rain came and the winds blew and washed the one away. Why? Because it didn't have a foundation, because it hadn't dug deep. And so it's a matter of what we invest in. So go back to the verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive. We're not supposed to be critical of people because they're weak in their faith. And the worst part is if we receive them to doubtful disputations. Somebody comes up with a Bible question or a Bible statement, and we debate with them. He says, that's the wrong direction. Go ahead. Yes. I would say yes to that. Absolutely. In fact, I would say that sometimes the less we know, the more we rely on Him. And the more we know, the less we rely on Him. And that is the balance of this chapter. It's a good point. So when we receive people that are weak in faith, the idea is not to have a debate. I'm not going to sit here and debate with you about whether you need to be baptized to go to heaven. Not going to debate it. I'm not going to sit here and debate with you over whether you can lose your salvation. What's the best strategy when somebody comes to you with a theological error? The Bible says. You know, and somebody was asking me yesterday a few questions, but one of them was about the resurrection. You know, so when we die, what happens? Well, our soul goes to heaven. Our body, you know, is on the earth in whatever form. And then what happens? Well, our body is resurrected, and we're judged in that body. And you say, well, what if I'm cremated? God can He put it together the first time. He could do it again. And we'll be standing in judgment in this body. And then after that, what happens? We get a new body. How many are looking forward to that? So we get a new body. And the Bible says, then shall I know as I am known, right? And so what are those things? That's Scripture. I'm not going to debate it with you. You say, well, I believe you. When you go in the grave, you're just unconscious until the resurrection. I'm not going to debate it with you. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's not exactly how he said it. He said we'd rather be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But he said while we're present in the body, we're absent from the Lord. That's Bible. That's not me making it up. By the way, that spare the rod and spoil the child, not me making it up either. You know, we don't use rods at my house, but anyway. But that's Scripture. That's not my opinion. Now, if we read the Bible and we study enough and we go to church enough under biblical preaching, what happens to our opinion? It falls in line with God. It aligns with God. And so sometimes we quote Scripture and we can't find them, right? Anybody ever do that? Just be careful about that. Because I've heard people say, to thine own self be true. You know, that's in the Bible. No, that's in Shakespeare, I believe. All right? That's not the Bible. So we have to be careful, make sure that what we're quoting is actual Scripture. Because sometimes there was one when I was first pastoring, and there was somebody who just kept quoting this line, and I said, where is that in the Bible? I don't know, but it's in there. And I said, well, call me back. As I recall, that was near the end of my pastoring there. But those are the kind of things that we get stuck on, these ideas that we were taught, and we think it's in the Bible. It's not. And so we got to make sure we know what's in the Bible. Get an address for it. Know the text for it. Know the scripture. And, you know, recirculate. Read it again. Somebody said the other day you could read the New Testament through in a month. Well, the Bible's about 1,500 pages. You know, so if you read 50 pages a day, which is a lot of reading, you could read the whole Bible through in a month. But that's a lot of reading. Yeah. So, again, what do we read? What are we spending our time reading, but we're not reading the Bible? But because how are we ever going to know the answers if we don't even know the questions? And how are we going to develop the questions unless we read the Bible? So, anyway, but weak in faith, and that's what we're talking about, being weak in faith. He says, don't receive them and then debate with them. How many of y'all like to argue? Don't point fingers. Right? Like to argue, just like to argue. In fact, there's times when I know people who will argue even when they don't believe what they're arguing, because they're just, they automatically argue. That's right, Brother Henry. Amen. That's on the marriage chapter, right? Look at verse 2. One believeth that he may eat all things. How many of you believe you may eat all things? Not at one sitting, but you're right. But what? Another who is weak only eats herbs. What's that say about vegetarians? I'm just saying. I mean, that's in the Bible, right? But here's what it, now, and we're not talking, guys, it's just a joke. That'd be all right. What's he saying? Well, because there are still a lot of people hung up on this idea that you can't eat pork. There's still a lot of people hung up on this idea that on Friday you can only eat fish. Right? Exactly right. But there are people who really struggle with that. And if they see you eating that, they think, well, this is somebody who doesn't believe. I've got friends who are who have Jewish backgrounds, and so when they convert to Christianity, they still hold on to some of those traditions. By the way, that's in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. The difference is that in the New Testament, God transitioned. So there are some things in the Old Testament, dietary laws in particular, that God doesn't hold us to, right? Because what are we talking about? We're talking about lobster. I know, we don't have any trouble, right? We hardly ever eat lobster. Right? Shrimp, catfish, right? Sharks, right? There are certain things you can't eat them according to the scripture. And most especially bacon, right? So there are things out, cheeseburgers, right? You can't have the dairy and the meat because one's a sacrifice and one's an offering. You're not supposed to combine those. And so these are things we have to think about when we're around people. But Jesus, or what Paul's saying here, is that God says, just make sure that you're okay with where you are when it comes to dietary laws. Now, let's not take this and transition it into sin. Let's not say, well, I can do what I want. The Bible says, you know, just don't do it around people who are weak in that area. No, that's not what he says. He's talking about food here. And let not him that eateth despiseth him that eateth not. So we shouldn't criticize vegetarians or those who are afraid to eat pork. It's not our place to judge them in their dietary convictions. God has received him. Verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. Let another esteemeth every day. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Man, this Christmas and Easter debate comes around every year. And I've got friends who, they are just dogmatic in the idea that Christmas originated as a pagan holiday. Thank you. Pagan holiday. And y'all are glorifying it. Tell them to read Romans 14. And Easter was a pagan holiday. Tell them to read Romans 14. And Halloween, how can you do these things and glorify a devilish holiday? You know how? By following Romans 14. Now, it's not, we don't glorify devils on that day. Would certainly advise against that. But look at what he says. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, verse 6, regardeth it unto the Lord. So can I take Christmas with its origins and say we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus? And I can take Easter with its pagan origins and say we're going to celebrate the resurrection. And I can take Halloween with its pagan, you know, reputation and say we're going to do something and praise the Lord with it. I can do that. But can I take Sunday and, you know, when is the Sabbath day? It hadn't changed. Saturday's still the Sabbath. Praise the Lord. He gave us a day off every week. And that day of rest, Saturday is a day of rest, that Sabbath day. And if I want to go to church on Sunday and sing praise to Jesus, okay, I can do that. According to Romans 14, without debating the whole, well, Jesus said on the first day of the week, Paul said on, yes, they did all those things. All that's true. But right here it says, you do your thing and I'll do my thing. Now, that's not quoted, so don't say that's in the Bible, but you do you, I'll do me, right? He that eateth to the Lord, he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. So you don't want any, that's okay. Verse 7, none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. What a profound statement, Paul. Guys, the things we do affect the people around us in such a tremendous way. And we may not even realize how deeply it affects people who we're not in daily contact with. But it deeply affects the people around us. And we should be mindful of that. Our actions affect others. Verse 8, whether we live to the Lord. Whether we die to the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Look at verse 10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Again, let me say, this is talking to a church to save people. We're going to stand before the judgment seat. And so what's he saying? He's saying, why are you judging him? He's got judgment coming. And so I believe there's an old country song that Willie Nelson sung. What is it? My kids know it. I play it for them every once in a while. Why don't you mind your own business? Because if you mind your own business, you'll be busy all the time. My kids could sing that to you. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Remember, we're judged as stewards. Our sins are forgiven. Right? When I trusted Christ, he washed all my sins away. All my sins are forgiven. But I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to say, Derek, you got saved at this point. You got in ministry at this point. And so I'm holding you responsible for everything you've done in that. You knew better when you did this. You knew better when you did this. You should have done that and you didn't do it. Sins of commission and sins of omission. And so I'm going to be held accountable as a steward. Because God's given me something valuable, hasn't he? And Jesus gave the example. Look at what he says. He says he gave people talents is the term he used. But he invested in them. And he said he'd give you 5 talents and you 3 talents and you 1 talent. And the one that had 5 went out and did what? Made money on it, right? He made a profit, brought it back and said, here you go. And the other one came back and said, here you go. And the other one said, I buried mine. I didn't want to lose it. Guys, we shouldn't be burying our talents. Verse 11, as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. It's heartbreaking to see what's happening in our world today, because every one of those who have rejected and denied God will bow and confess. It's going to happen. Verse number 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Anymore. He says, we're done. We're done picking on other people because of their weak faith. We're done mocking people because of their weak faith. We're done, criticizing people because they backslid. Now, I'm still going to preach about it. I'm just not going to criticize anybody individually. All right? But he says, anymore, we're done. Judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. The point is, what are you doing to encourage and lift up, or are we doing things to bring people down? Guys, if we glory in the suffering of other people, that's a sorry statement. That's a sad state when we glory in somebody else's failures. I know, verse 14, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So if you think it's wrong, don't do it. How many of us, our lives would be so different if we had never done anything we thought was wrong? People say, well, I did things before I knew they were wrong. Yeah, but what about things we did what we thought were wrong? We knew they were wrong. We did them anyway. It'd be a different life. Verse 15, if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. I had lunch yesterday with some people of Jewish tradition. They're saved now. And I thought about that before I went. I thought, well, what am I going to order? If I order a cheeseburger, are they going to judge me for not being kosher? All right, if I get bacon on my cheeseburger, am I going to get judged for eating bacon? I thought about all that. By the way, the easiest thing to do when you go to eat with somebody is get what they got. Especially if they're paying, because you don't want to get something more expensive, right? Just get what they got. And that's what I did. I got what they got. And it was good. By the way, it was cheese and beef. So it turned out to be something I worried about. Didn't matter. It wasn't a cheeseburger, but it was a taco with meat and cheese on it. Anyway. But see, the whole idea is, guys, we don't want to hurt other people. They may struggle with things that we're beyond, right? I know plenty of people who have a hot toddy, have a hot toddy, or they have a shot of whiskey or something at night. Old people that before they go to bed, they have a shot, okay? Now, for some people in that room, that'd be a real problem. But the difference is this. If you didn't know they did that before they go to bed, you would come to me and give a testimony, what a great Christian they are. But when you find out they take a shot before they go to bed, all of a sudden you're offended. By the way, I don't. I'm just telling you, I don't. So I'm not trying to defend myself. But we get choked up on things. And, so if you went to their house and you opened that cabinet and you saw that liquor in there, you'd get all offended. But if you understood why they do it or how they do it or that they've always done it, so what am I going to do? Well, if I'm that one that takes a shot, and again, I'm not. If I took that shot at night every night, I wouldn't do it in front of my friends if they were over. That's what he's saying. He's saying don't become a stumbling block for somebody else. By the way, it's so important, and I don't want anybody to get the idea that I'm saying go out and drink. Because I'll tell you something, alcohol has ruined so many families and so many lives, and it continues to. And it's an awful thing in that regard. But people use it, in such moderation. But if you're one of those people, just don't do it in front of people that get offended by it. That's all. That's all he's saying. And we, it's easy when we talk about cheeseburgers because people don't get all offended. But when we take it up the next notch, people get quiet. Verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Hallelujah. You know what he's saying when you sit down to eat? He says, God doesn't care. Eat a cheeseburger with bacon on it. All right. Go ahead. It is not going to keep you out of heaven. You're not going to stand before God in judgment and God says you had a cheeseburger with bacon on it. Unless you knew that it was going to offend the person next to you or across from you. And if you did it just to prove a point, then God says you put a stumbling block down. So, let not your good be evil spoken of. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Look, he says we got two ways. The cross points up and it points out. And so our Christian faith has to be vertical and horizontal. The Ten Commandments, right? Vertical and horizontal. Our faith is not exclusive just for us. Well, that's just between me and God. No, it's also outward to other people. Let us therefore, verse 19, follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Paul says, guys, we got to help each other. And you know what? You say, well, Pastor, I don't have any problem with drinking. Okay? But I notice people that don't have any problem with drinking still don't drink around me. And I appreciate that. Okay? And we have to be mindful that if we're doing things that might be a stumbling block for somebody else, are you saying, well, you're a hypocrite if you do it at home and don't do it in public? No, you're not. Try not to make somebody else stumble. That's all. That's all. And so be careful. Y'all don't go to liquor store after church say the preacher said so. We're trying to build people up. Verse 20, for meat destroy not the work of God. In other words, for the sake of your appetite, don't ruin your testimony. That's what he's saying there. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Verse 22, happy is he that condemneth not himself and the thing which he alloweth. And I'll tell you something, guys. The church has preached some things that were not in the Bible for years and programmed us that you can't do that, that's a sin. You can't do that, that's a sin. And it's programmed into us from our youth in church, you know, since we were young, but it's not in the Bible. So don't stumble over it. And hopefully, if you're holding on to some of those things, now you're looking at it and thinking, hey, I've been taught that was wrong, but I look in the Bible, it's not in there. Please, let's do that. Please, let's grow up in our faith. Verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth it not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Don't give somebody, and I've heard of people doing this, giving people food that they didn't know what it was. I'd love to do that. You know, I talk about that sometimes with Sister Gladys. Give her frog legs, but don't tell her. Or give her some rattlesnake meat, but don't tell her. Right? We're not supposed to do that. Because if they believe it's wrong and now you've given it to them and then you go, oh, that was frog meat, now you've hurt their conscience, okay? So if they don't want to eat it, you just enjoy those frog legs right by yourself, all right? We need to have some frog legs, don't we? What's that? Well, don't tell her afterwards, though. She'd probably ruin all of us if she did. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. You say, well, you know what? It's my right to eat a cheese bacon burger. You're right. It is. But you're stronger in faith. But you're more mature in your walk with God. Don't hurt somebody's faith because you were being selfish and had to have that right then. All right? There are other options. There are other options, and that's what we should remember. Not to be selfish. Verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. that we, through patience and comfort of Scriptures, might have hope. Right? So that we're not going to take things out of the Old Testament because at some point, you know, a vision came to Peter on the rooftop in Joppa and said, kill it and eat it. That which I've called holy, don't you call common. Right? He told Peter, eat that pork. And Peter said, oh, no, I can't do that. And Jesus said, yes, you can. Eat it. Right? So something happened there. But we're not going to take out all those parts of the Old Testament that God has updated. Right? It's there for our benefit. It's there for our good. It's good for us to study it and to learn it. They're good for, and so that we might have hope. So we could see the growth of the faith, if you will. Verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So go back to verse 1 of chapter 14, and what does he say? Him that is weak in the faith receive. We're not supposed to have, you know, sections of our church who can't, I can't sit with them because they don't believe what I believe. They're not mature enough, or they think they're so smart. You know, we shouldn't have those factions in the church. We should be like-minded. We should all believe the same thing. We should all glorify God with one mouth, work together. What does the Bible say? Can two walk together except they be agreed? So when we're talking about a church, guys, we're here to work together. That's why not everybody that comes through here stays here. They don't. Because they don't believe what we believe. It's incredible to me the variations we have in the church, the diversity we have in the church, and yet the like-mindedness we have. We got to be able to disagree on some things, but for the most part, we need to be agreeable. And for the most part, we need to agree. But that still allows the outline ideas of disagreement. But we need to be one body in Christ. Verse 8, Jesus Christ was minister of the circumcision, the Jews. Verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God. And so he talks about the Romans, right? They're Jewish and they're Gentiles. And he said, guys, we got to work together. Remember that the book of Romans, as Paul writes to the Roman church, there are a lot of Jews in there that he's trying to bring out of their old traditions. We need that in Baptist circles, don't we? Get out of our old traditions. And we do. I think we've blasted all of them here at some point or another. And there's nothing wrong with traditions, but we just need to not make them, you know, Scripture. Not make it out to be holy, right? They're traditions. And so we need to make sure that we remember that that's what they are. Verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So if at some point, because we all will at some point have struggles in our hope, how do we get it back? By the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, one of the biggest things for me is just reading the Bible. Well, if you just get in the Bible and just read it, it'll just build you up and bring back your hope and build up your faith by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. And so, but the point of the message this morning, the lesson, is that we need to not be so dogmatic on some things. And we need to grow in our flexibility of non-biblical matters. That makes sense. How many of you think that's going to be easy? Let's take a break.